Welcome to the Instagram Stories for Thursday, March 12th. I'm your host, Daniel Hill. Today on the show, the head of Instagram is going to stop by to give three strategic tips on content creation to make the process easier. Shockingly, I agree with every single one of the 3 points that he makes. We'll get into it. Also, the Buffer team has analyzed 52 million social media posts and built a large social media engagement report. It's called The State of Social Media Engagement in 2026. Senior content writer at Buffer, Tammy, is going to stop by to give us the highlights of the report. Additionally, Ashley Coffey and I are going to dive into some AI news. If you have a pair of Meta Ray-Bans, or you know someone who does, you're going to want to hear about this story because the privacy that you think is built into these glasses is not at all what it seems, and footage is being reviewed by people who work outside of the company, and they're seeing things that they do not want to see. We will get into all of that, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsors. Welcome back. Let's start with the Buffer report around the state of social media engagement in 2026, based on their analysis of 52 million posts. Here's the clip from Tammy explaining this long report.
Hi, I'm Tammy Oladipo, senior content writer at Buffer. And you probably heard Daniel mention Buffer on the podcast before and heard from our team members, Diego Sanchez and Chrissy Lang, on here too. I've been at Buffer for 4 years now working on the content team, which basically means I spend a lot of time thinking about what works on social, making content about it, and writing about it. And part of that writing is in our State of Social Media Engagement report for 2026, which we just published, and it's one of the biggest research projects our team has ever done of its kind. We analyzed tens of millions of posts across 10 platforms to understand what engagement looks like right now, and a few things stood out. First, replying to comments on your post makes a measurable difference. Across platforms like Instagram, LinkedIn, and Threads, posts where accounts replied to comments consistently outperformed posts where they didn't. On Threads, we're talking a 42% lift, and on LinkedIn, a 30% lift. Second, engagement benchmarks vary a lot by platform. What counts as a strong rate on X might be pretty average on LinkedIn and vice versa, so knowing your baseline matters. And third, consistency in posting tends to win out over volume. Showing up regularly outperforms posting in bursts. There's a lot more where that came from, so check out the report for platform-by-platform breakdowns, format comparisons, best times to post, and more. You can find the full thing at the link in the show notes. And if you want to keep up with Buffer's data and content, we are at Buffer on most platforms. Back to you, Daniel.
Thank you, Tammy, for stopping by and sharing that info. If you want to read the entire report with some really clear graphics that explain it even better than I possibly could, the link to the entire thing will be in the show notes. By the way, I want to take this opportunity to say that if you have worked on something that you think explains social media strategy really well, or you work for a company that you think would benefit from having a clip on this show, send me a DM at Daniel Hill Media. I would love to connect on that topic. Let's move on to the Instagram strategy portion of the episode. And here is the head of Instagram to explain three tips to make your content creation process easier. Here's the clip.
Creating content for platforms like Instagram can be exhausting at times. So a couple tips to make it easier if you're a creator. The first is plan ahead. So I set aside 30 or 45 minutes every week and I try to create all of my content just during that time. And I make the most of it by knowing what I'm going to do before I get in there. The second is to actually change your outfits. So I do this a lot because I don't want to make it look like I'm posting all the same things on the same day or posting from the same day. So I will have a couple different outfit changes. Let me put this right here. So that it appears as if every day I have a different sweater on or maybe even a pair of glasses. So you can't really tell that I did it 30 seconds apart. The third is batch edit. It can really help to get in the flow and just have dedicated time to do all of your editing at once, so I highly recommend that. And the fourth is schedule your posts. I do this all the time. I'm constantly queuing up content ahead of time so I don't have to worry every week or every day about whether or not I have done enough that week. So hopefully these tips help you out because I know it can be a lot of work to make content. Good luck. Peace.
I agree with all of those tips, but I think the outfit change is an underrated one. I have done this in the past, and what I typically do is I wear a white t-shirt or undershirt, and then I change the outer shirt above it, just like what Adam Asari demonstrated in the video. I also might mess up my hair a little bit or make my hair a little bit neater. No one else will really notice apart from me, but whatever gives the effect of it being a different day is well worth it, in my opinion. And it doesn't take that much effort to do. All right, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ashley Coffey and I are going to talk about some AI news around Meta's Ray-Bans and how they are not as private as you think they are. Stick around. Welcome back. Here's Ashley Coffey and I talking about AI news, specifically around Meta's Ray-Bans and their lack of privacy. Here's the clip. Meta is being sued over their AI smart glasses privacy concerns. Here's the background. Meta glasses are really only supposed to be recording when you activate them. Meta AI smart glasses are advertised using promises like, and this is a direct quote from Meta, quote, designed for privacy controlled by you, end quote, and quote, built for your privacy, end quote. Here's the news. An investigative journalism team in Sweden found that workers at a Kenya-based subcontracting company hired by Meta are reviewing footage from customers' glasses, part of training the AI systems, teaching them to recognize and interpret the world. These employees are called data annotators, and they are basically the manual laborers of the AI revolution. Their job is to draw boxes around flower pots and traffic signs, register pixels, name objects, cars, lamps, people. Every image must be described, labeled, and quality assured. However, the images that these subcontractors are viewing include sensitive content like nudity, people having sex, and using the toilet. Faces are supposed to be blurred. However, the workers in this subcontracting company said that doesn't work reliably. In this article, which we'll link to in the show notes, the people working at these companies who are afraid to reveal their names for losing their jobs, one of the reporters asked, do you sometimes feel like you're looking straight into people's private lives? And they said, when you see these videos, it feels that way. But since it's a job, you have to do it. You understand that it's someone's private life you're looking at, but at the same time, you are just expected to carry out the work. You're not supposed to question it. If you start asking questions, you're gone, end quote. One of the annotators summed up the whole experience by saying, quote, you think that if they knew about the extent of the data collection, no one would dare use the glasses, end quote. Now, there's a second part of this news, which is that Meta is being sued in the United States over this. There's a new complaint that is alleging Meta violated privacy laws, engaged in false advertising, and that it includes Meta and the glasses manufacturing partner, Luxottica. The plaintiffs who are bringing this lawsuit said they didn't see any disclaimer or information that contradicted those advertising terms that I mentioned before, designed for privacy, controlled by you. My take is that this is very concerning, enough to make me glad that I personally have not purchased Meta glasses yet. Ashley, what is your take?
One, I'm really glad that you chose this because this is a topic of kind of regular discussion that we have here. Two, I think it's no coincidence that this is coming from a Swedish investigative journalism. I think they'd be really hard to report on something like this here in the United States right now, especially for the big outlets. So that's something to consider here. And I do encourage everyone to actually read it. It is a pretty lengthy article, but I do think it's important. I'm sad about this, but honestly, I'm not surprised because a lot of AI, especially in earlier days, was a lot of manual labor on the back end. And like, we don't know what these mental health implications are going to be for people now and in the future, and I'm sure they're not great. It's unsettling for sure. It feels like a Black Mirror episode. I have Meta Ray-Bans. Whenever I go into the restroom, I'll put them on my head, like, whoop, up here. That way they're camera facing up, even if, like, you know, let's say they are looking at me, they're not going to see anything. So I always do that, not just for, like, my privacy, but for the privacy around me. When I'm in, like, a public space, I'm very conscious about what I'm looking at. And we had to talk about this, too, of, like, there's a difference between persistent recording of, like, continuously recording and using it and then not. And I don't think Meta has done a really good job being 100% transparent about this, but I think it's by design. Because, I mean, Meta is an ad company at this point, and the more biometric data they can get from people, the better they can ad target. What better data to get than from your own eyes? Like, that's gold. So we're going to have to figure out a better way to do this that's not so invasive on privacy. But we're just getting warmed up now. I just looked at that motion that you added. We'll put it in the show notes. And they're demanding a jury trial in the state of California. So this is going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because if it does play out, it's going to set a precedent. I just wonder how long will these companies like Meta be able to push this off and get off scot-free? Like, eventually it's going to implode, because privacy is an illusion these days. We're losing a lot of it. And with things like an entire ecosystem of WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, it's hard to get out of an ecosystem that's been built. And I would say a large part monopolized. So that is my thought. And I'm excited to see the potential policy and legislation to come out because of this. But this is a really good example that we need to be proactive instead of reactive. And I think we're playing the reactive game a little too much when it comes to AI. And this is one of them.
I'm going to stop it there. If you want to hear Ashley Coffey and I talking more AI news, look for the podcast AI News You Should Know About wherever you get podcasts. That is going to do it for today's episode. As always, thank you for listening, and come back next time for more social media news, strategy, and other things you should know.
Let's get it. The year was 2013. You posted your first pic and you're glad you posted a scene. Your friends like you too, but what you didn't know is what posting on that platform would do. Taking all your time and attention, doom scrolling. Also, let me mention, you gotta post on every platform, putting content on every set just to conform. Likes gave you validation and you got hooked. Now engagement is down, you feeling overlooked. Hey, keep coming back for more podcasts. And find me on Instagram at